gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to this week's episode of One Up Top. We came, we saw, we conquered. The best day out in 2 years, and the sunburn speak for itself. Mr. O'Reilly, how are you getting on?
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely bollocks.
Because he looks it. Oh, my God.
I'm fucking bollocks beyond belief here. Honestly, got those 2 days out in the sun, as you said, it was absolutely box office. You said the best day in 2 years. That's the best days in the 21 years I've been alive.
Yeah, geez, I think a lot of people would say that as well. As far as the kind of day out with Bowes goes, it's something that we've kind of wanted for so long, to be in around the Aviva, to be absolutely lording it in Bowes Bridge, you know?
The fucking pubs, the scenes. I think the words they were using on Twitter was vile, disgusting and horrifying scenes.
Yeah, it was a real two fingers to Neffa and public health advice, but... I suppose.
Why are you watching CMO?
I presume he would have been actually picking up a friend, probably like he was doing on South William Street, but we all know that was a lie. We'd like to thank our sponsors, as always, Grand Cru Beers. We aren't on the gargle tonight, as we are two cold, dishevelled men.
We don't want gargle ever again.
Yeah, please stay away from us. We've Vault Fashions as well, and New Age Barbers. We believe New Age did a very good rip-roaring trade with the 50% off for Bowes fans.
I think James Talbot was in a mooching a haircut from what I've seen. But here we are, folks, episode 12. Sadly, myself and Jay were meant to be going off to Luxembourg tomorrow, but due to typical Bowes apocalyptic conditions, a Bible-like flood decided to hit fucking Europe. So our European journeys have been set back another couple of weeks. God willing, now we'll be in fucking, don't know how...
Thessalonica.
Thessalonica, is that how they pronounce it? Yeah.
And it's a kip.
It is a kip. Yeah, well, I don't know. It's actually not. It looks lovely from what I see in Google Images. But play's got to be there in a couple of weeks' time. Look, we do have a guest with us this week. Whoever, I believe he's caught in traffic, and you know the studio here isn't cheap to rent. So we did have to start the show without him. So look.
You're stuck with Podge and Rog for the next few minutes.
For next few minutes, you will be here. But it's Rob Smith of the Swedish Railway Orchestra, a well-known and former resident rock star, well before Rob Cornwell and Dave Park.
We also want to thank our two guests from last week. That was Pat O'Shea and Ian Hopkins. And personally, I thought that was one of the best shows we've done. The two lads were just absolutely brilliant. They were full of information, full of laughs. But look, as every show, we'll start with the other results. And just on the European results there, Sligo Rovers are out. Probably very disappointing for them. Dundalk are through. Probably not surprised they were playing against a fairly mediocre side. Rovers are out, but they're into the third round of the conference. Pats beat Drogheda. They kept up a bit of form. Pats got two wins there recently with a kind of fairly depleted side whilst they went in European action. Where Sligo, on the other hand, they lost to Waterford. That was a really, really big dip for them.
Well, Mark Bertram seems to have really turned around there at the moment. He brought in a couple of players, two very experienced players. He's brought in some lad, I think it was with Northampton a couple of years ago, and played for Bolton.
He's got Eric Malloy down there. He's playing outright mid. Remember he played for us in a friendly against Chelsea. He scored that goal.
Eric Malloy's a bit of experience. And then you look at the relegation battle. Longford have signed a couple of players, and you know, the young lads, maybe you don't need them at the moment. It's experience you probably need to try and keep you up.
Definitely.
But look, before we get on to... or fixtures, obviously the league table still isn't quite shaping up as much as we wanted.
No, and I'm you know, I think Dundalk are going to start to pick up the pace now. You know, thankfully Drogheda will probably tail off. It's going to be tight, I think, for fourth and third spot. I think we're definitely a good bit off, you know, coming in first and second. That's where we want to be. But look, there is, you know the best part of half a season to go still. And look, I'd be confident enough we'll get up the table. We'll kickstart now with our big day out in the Aviva last week. I suppose all we can say is what a day for everyone. 6,000 fans in such a big stadium, but we made so much noise and broke so many rules.
Yeah, the place was electric. A few masks went missing the scenes in between the turnstiles and the stands.
And there was no Jack's rolls. Why the white me out for a fucking mask?
Well, all in all, I know there's a bit of kerfuffle about the social distancing. Looking back on the images, obviously, look, the rules are broken and whatnot, but it wasn't that bad.
Yeah, definitely not. I seen pictures from the Ulster semi-final up in Newry, and also the one between Monaghan and Armagh. And I can tell you this much, there was a lot more people on the terraces there bunched up than there was in the south stand. So I know a lot of people did make it.
Sadly, that's the rules, and it's the rules because Neffa made it. And you look around the rest of Europe, you're kind of shrugging your shoulders, going like, I know, don't get me wrong, we probably should have followed them and whatnot. It could have cost us our second day out, but you look around Europe and it's fucking hard. Why are we putting up with this show?
We are so far behind, and I think 6,000 fans is an insult to a stadium of 55,000. I think 18,000 at the Gaz is an insult to a stadium of 82,000.
El Rambo was eating a packet of Maltesers, and you had a similar experience.
Yeah.
Rambo was eating a packet of Maltesers in the upper deck, and Stuart came down to him and said, put on your mask. He said, I'm eating my Maltesers. And he goes, well, eat one, put your mask on, start chewing. And then when you want another one, take your mask off and start put it back on when you're chewing again.
I also had an instant. I was getting a burger at half time, which was actually like a hockey puck more than a burger. Some of the worst cuisine I've had at a ground in Ireland ever. And I remember that Pulse security team, Pulse, who we know do Daily Mount now as well. They are an absolute shower of cunts. They're inept, they're rude, and they're fucking arseholes in general.
Sounds a bit like us in fairness.
I'm sure that was what every person in Ballsbridge was saying. Who are these 600 lads? They're all shower of cunts. But your man asked me to put my mask on whilst I ate my burger, to which I told him to go fuck himself, as you do. But on the let's talk about the match itself. 3-0, could we have asked for a better turnaround than that 1-1 in Iceland?
I don't think so. I think everything went to script. You know, a couple of chances. Kelly had that one at the start of the game. Would keep him made a fantastic save.
Yeah.
I think Bort was fucking absolutely brilliant. Bucco, I think that was Bucco's best game in the ball short.
Definitely, I think he won the ball back so many times. The ball for Bort's goal was absolutely fantastic. I thought he wore the armband exceptionally well.
But I was worried 10 minutes in when Feely dragged your man down.
Yeah,
I went, this has got the most typical Bowles thing ever.
Get a man
We're
down.
We're going to be down as down, man. And I thought it was going to be a red card, to be honest with you.
It's fairly tactical by Long to take him off at half time as well. He put Rob Cornwall on. We know Rob's got bags of experience. He played in Europe last year as well.
He was brilliant too when he came on.
Yeah, he was. I thought Rob had a really good game. And, you know, I think that might be a conundrum going into the next game. Feely or Rob Cornwall? Will he go with, you know, height and power or will he go with experience?
I think Rob might take it.
I think Rob might take it as well, because Rob is the vice captain of the club. And he did
maybe come. It's one of those situations, similar to Pugli. Maybe it's similar to one of those situations where Long is maybe just looking for an excuse. Definitely. Bring him back into the squad, and that could have been it.
I know the ball bomber got two goals and he took them very well, real poacher style stuff. But Dawson Devoy, what about that for the first goal? He literally
it was fucking sensational. We obviously didn't say we were on the south stand with the riffraff, but you just that fucking that move of just brilliance and genius. It's like
I thought it was like the ball was like a yo-yo on his foot that night, and the likes of Burton Cooten, I thought Andy Lyons was brilliant. I thought every player out there is fantastic. I thought you made some really good changes, but bringing on Levingston as well, with a bit of time to go, bringing on...
It was nice to see some subs, wasn't it?
Yeah, he brought on the boy Mullins as well, who was absolutely exceptional. But you know what? I actually think that Starnan side were probably a bit disappointingly bad. I thought they were going to be a lot better for a team that went through a couple of rounds. I thought they'd be considerably better than what they were. They were really bad on Thursday night, bar about 15 minutes of looking.
Yeah, technically,
okay.
They offered next to nothing. Like.
Yeah, they weren't. It was, good at all.
They had a couple of about 10-minute press in the second half, where, you know, we were on the bit of a back foot, and you're thinking, oh, fuck it, the hope doesn't last.
There was a shot from distance, though, as well. There was nothing
there
in the box.
There was nothing about them. Like, for a team that, you know, that had bags of experience, a couple of international players, you're going, what the fuck did these bastards offer?
But look, fair play to them as well. They did give us a good game. They weren't a dirty team by any chance, by any stretch of
the
imagination.
The keeper, despite the
despite the abuse,
he got for the whole game. He turned around and he applauded us.
He must have had a really nice time in Ireland. Imagine the suitcase coming back full of a Guinness memorabilia and Carol's gift or something like that.
Yeah.
He had a great time. We'll leave that game.
Well, actually, just one last thing before I finish on that. What I was worried about going into the game, I didn't mention last week, and I hope this is a massive turning point. I was afraid that the occasion might have got to the players.
Yeah, you're dead right.
Because
right.
What we've talked about is we don't have maybe winners. And I don't mean by winners. I mean, like, we haven't got people who've actually accomplished things within the league. They haven't won fucking league titles. There's not players that have got over the line in Europe and whatnot. And my big fear last week was these boys are coming into it, have not played in front of a crowd in 2 years, are now coming into the national stadium, one of the greatest in Europe.
Exactly.
And they're going to play in front of 6,000 fans. Are they going to fucking swallow it?
And maybe, you know, all those times, you know, we lost the cup semis, we lost 5 games in a row to Rovers, maybe, you know, things.
This might, could be at the turning point,
yeah,
where, you know,
turning point the mentality in the squad.
Mentality, this is it. We know how to fucking do it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that you're dead right there. But we will leave that game in history right now, and that is going to be history for a lot of people.
We've only qualified through Europe 7 times in our history.
Have we?
Yeah, I think the first appearance was in the 1970s in Europe, and we've only gone through around 7 times.
We've never got through 2 rounds in a row, have we?
Nope, but we're here to make history. It's there for us.
Yeah, sure. We'll see in Doolan's. The other game of the weekend was against Longford Town. I was lucky enough to be at that on the media pass just to avoid any confusion if you've seen a fellow with W as a second name running around. Too many changes?
Wrong
changes.
It could have been too many of the wrong changes. I think it would have been better starting Kelly and taking him off when we have a lead.
Yeah, I know, I agree with you there.
Rather than have to bring him at half time.
And doesn't that show how badly stuck we are for a second striker to be in there? Surely we have to get someone in.
You know, I was annoyed yesterday a bit sort of towards Long that, you know, Harry's being deployed at this strike, but Long came out after the match and said, and defended here, he's like, this is not his position.
Yeah,
it's not his. A lot of fans are going mad about here. He goes, he's not a fucking striker.
He's only 5'9". You said it earlier. He's five foot nine. He doesn't play there. He's come on a couple of times to play in that role because, right, here's a bit of game time. We're 3-0 up. We're winning by 2 goals, etc. That's when he's came on. You know, I think Harry's role, and I think the only role he will play at this club this season, is if Dawson Devoy was to leave in the next few weeks.
Ross Tierney could go too.
Where Harry might be someone to come in for those two players, because right now he doesn't have the energy. It doesn't look like. He probably doesn't have the intensity that those two players offer us in those positions. And, you know, he just doesn't fit into the team right now, which is a crying shame because he was a marquee signing along with Stephen Mallon, who didn't feature again, who seems, as you said a few weeks ago, he's made of glass.
Yeah.
He's made of chocolate melting in the sun.
Yeah, you know, fucking that shit. You get very annoyed at the terminology, you know, oh, he's not fit enough. Play like he's not fucking fit enough, don't put him on the bench. Yeah. Because it's frustrating.
It's annoying for us to see, oh, he's on the bench. Come on, let's see him. And we just get excited.
So maybe he might have speech for 10 or 15 minutes the weekend, but...
We did get to see two young players, Robbie Matton, who didn't get too much into the game. Paddy Kirk had his number for a bit of it. And Jamie Mullins, who scored the goal, who just looks absolutely hot shit, doesn't he?
He looked brilliant. He grew into the game as it came on.
Some of his touches is brilliant.
He was ahead of Wardy in terms of his want nearly to get on the ball.
Yeah, he did,
Which is mad to think when you think about Wardy, his desire just to you know, pull short, give me the fucking thing. Mm. And Mullins is like a little replica beside him.
I wonder what he'll do with Mullins now. Will he keep him in that role, or will he try and mould him into something with Devoy or Tierney, you know, because he looks a player that just has... You know, with the ball at his feet, he can do anything right now with it.
Yeah, well, look, Mullins, he will be... Keith Long does nurture his younger players. Yeah. He seems to let Tierney and Devoy off the leash this season and just said, lad, it's yours, he's already.
Yeah.
But I think Mullins could be one of those that, you know, comes in and out of the squad. I don't think he will be a regular starter.
No, probably not. Not this season. But you know what you said earlier, just it's, you know, typical Bowes if we had lost on a big occasion. You know what's very typical Bowes? It's to bring kids like him into the team and just let them loose and just give young players a game. You don't see it around, you know, some of the big clubs like Dundalk, like Rovers sometimes.
Rovers 3 million originally, that's obviously gotten bigger that they put into Rhodes.
Yeah.
The academy out in Rhodes on or whatnot. Like, they've got the oldest squad in the league, and that's probably why they're in the league and whatnot.
I think they brought two young fellas on there over the weekend, but like, this is the first time that they've got on the pitch and we're 20 games in.
Well, they played us.
Yeah, they haven't done anything like that.
They had those two players, I think, on the bench against us, and Brady didn't trust them.
Yeah, well, that's just, you know, that says a lot about their setup. I want to give a big shout out to Lee Stacey, who not only looks the part in goal, he looks like Gregory Coupe years ago, but he played...
Looks like a man that had the balls for a house flag, actually.
He played a bit like Jan Sommer there on the weekend. He was absolutely brilliant. I think he got Dave Scully's man of the match. Some of the saves he made, and he always plays good against us. Remember the cup game? He saved a load of chances as well at the 2-2 draw. Lee Stacey was absolutely brilliant.
He was fucking brilliant.
He is exposed, and you know, he knows how to turn on the style.
Yeah, well, look, Longford, it's disappointing. You won't win a league if you're dropping 4 points at home.
Exactly.
You get two home games against the basement side who, with all respect to Darragh Doyle and Longford,
he's a good manager.
They haven't won a game since the first game of the season.
They haven't.
Since then, they've taken 2 points off us, Bolton, Daly Mill Park.
As you said, Waterford taking points now as well, and I think Longford could be really left in the dust, but we'll see what happens. But look, we are waiting for our guest to come in now. He should be here very, very shortly.
So, look, we'll come over to you, and once he's in, we're ready to rock, so we're going to... Not have a Grand Cru here because we are two bollocks.
I'm going to have to put a bit of suntan on Jordan's head here.
Oh, I'm going to have to fucking put a suntan around my neck. So we are joined now by our guest, Rob Smith. It was caught up in traffic there. The studio man, we've managed to book an extra 10 minutes up, so we'll be able to get a bit of a story in, Rob.
So, guys, some people might not know Rob Smith, but if you remember 3-year-old points of tenants, Evan McMillan up front and Bowes beating Rovers 4-0, you'll remember this man as he used to have the Phoenix Bar on wheels playing acoustic sets after the matches. But Rob, how did you actually get into Bowes and where did it start for you?
Where I am from, I'm from the south side of the city, right?
Boo!
So, a lot of my mates, one of them supported Shells. He used to go to all the Shells games home and away. And then one of the other lads used to go to Rovers games. And one time the two of them brought me up to Tolka about 20 odd years ago to see Shells playing Bows. And I said, fuck it, that's the club for me.
Yeah.
And that's it, really. That's how I got into it. My family, nobody in my family's into League of Ireland, and I wasn't exposed. Really, yeah. Where I'm from, everyone's into the Premier League and all that shite.
That's how I was growing up. And you used to do Stuart at Bowles, was it?
When I was unemployed, musician, yeah. Unemployable as well. I was literally scraping the fucking 10 cent pieces together to get the bus, the number 9 from the Lower Kimmage Road, where I'm from, over to Finsbury, you know. The number 9 is now a Bowles bus.
A big Bowles bus, yeah. It goes right in the heart of Rovers.
I see it outside the house all the time. But I used to count the Thames getting them together, and I said, fucking, you know. And then you have to pay fucking 10, 15 quid to get in. It says, I'll tell you what, because I'm a genius, because I'm not working. I'll do a bit of stewarding, and that's how I got to see the games for free. You get 20 quid, you get fucking a bag of chips at the end.
Yeah.
And then that was it. That's all I needed. Free water,
and you get to see the match.
That's it. So that'll do me.
And what year did you start going to Bowes then? Properly?
Regularly?
Full time? Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, 2003 probably.
2003, yeah. Mm. So as I said, you used to play the gigs in the bar around 2012.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that atmosphere back in the bar then? Because we as fans enjoyed that season so much because we'd just come down off.
We were coming up on other stuff too. Yeah, that age.
We'd come down off the heights of winning leagues to being a very humbled side with, you know, young players and a couple of old heads and not winning matches every week. I mean, you would have played gigs after matches where we lost.
The
atmosphere was always brilliant. And
amazing.
Yeah.
How that started was because the Olympic gig the year before.
Yeah.
I was part of that. You know the thing with like Roy Seven and Bruce
it was
Shields
the
and all.
Save our balls, was essential.
I was so locked going on the stage.
What was that? What gigs? Did you play gigs around that before that? Or?
Yeah. I would go around. I played the Olympia a couple of times before that. Not as a headliner because of, you know.
But
I played around just with acoustic guitar and then, you know. So then I was at. It was actually Eric Lawler asked me to do the Olympia gig. And he put me onto Lambert. That's how I met Daniel Lambert. And then it was then the following year when I was, you know, going to games and going talking to Lambert and all. He would say, you know, just play in the bar, you know. And okay, all right. Gave it a go one time. I said, tell you what, I'm not playing any of my original music because they don't care about, and I don't care about that. Let's do the Stone Roses. Let's do Oasis. Let's bang it out and have a laugh. That's what it was. It was a laugh, you know.
They were absolutely great gigs. I know Roe used to do 2 euro at the door.
One for me, one for you.
There was just the sound of shrapnel going around the bar afterwards.
Yeah, I noticed that all right because it'd be like, it's 2 euro in. There's about 100 people in. Here's your 60 quid, Rob. I was like, let me do the maths in that one. I didn't care. I was getting locked.
Yeah.
And look, they were fucking serious. I think you had a mate of yours you brought over. He was part of the Stone Roses tribute band over in the UK.
Complete Stone Roses. And then the Stone Roses Experience. Alan is his name. He lives here now. Alan Marshall. He'd done Ian Brown for years. He was the one, Ian Brown, who done, like, when they were playing the Olympia and doing Oxygen and all.
He's
that.
An Ian Brown lookalike.
No, he doesn't look like him at all. But he sounds, he's a great voice and he was doing the whole thing back in the day, you know.
Is he a big conspiracy theorist as well, though?
he's had his vaxes. But when I had him in, that was in I can't remember what. Actually, that was a derby game.
Was he?
That was a Bowes Rovers game. And Lambert told me that was the biggest the bar ever took in at that point.
Yeah.
So not even a drink in it for me.
If you're listening, get a bucket of beer out tomorrow. Our grand crew will sort out Rob here with something else at some stage.
I suppose, like everyone else, Rob, you're probably finding it a bit difficult now. There's no Bowes for anyone during lockdown.
There's no what?
There's no Bowes for anybody now during lockdown.
Yeah. So, I mean, the last, before COVID, I it's very hard for me to get out on a Friday night down to Dagenham. Very fucking hard.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I think I went about 3 times the season before last in the whole year. So I said, 2020, I said, right, getting a season ticket, got a season ticket, lockdown started, said, fuck it. Now that we're, you know, the games in Aviva, can't go to them. So my head's melted a little bit.
I think as well on Friday nights, anyone who's kind of stumbled into town onto Wellington Quay.
We've often used your name on the door.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've noticed that.
Absolutely hammered. You might see this man.
After 1 o'clock morning, I'll tell you, no, Rob Smith is upstairs doing DJ. They check who's on. Yeah, they must know him. Put ahead, lads.
You get up the stairs and the workmen's get a little cheeky wink and a nod off Rob and say, you use my name again.
I'd be sitting there DJing and I'd just be like tired because I wouldn't be drinking for some of those gigs and be like, oh, I just can't wait to go home. Next time I see the Bowes lads coming.
Oh, brilliant.
And look, That's your bit about bowls, but I suppose this is the main, one of the main reasons why I really wanted to get you on from the get-go. I think I've been trying to get you on since fucking, text you back since bleeding March when we started off this podcast.
But like most guests, nobody wants to come on.
Yeah. But no, it was all about logistics and trying to get them on, so obviously we're grateful for this, but you've got a very special story, and it goes all the way to Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
How the fuck did you manage to become Boca Juniors' Johnny Logan?
Is it usually, it's usually only Nazis that flee to Argentina, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who says I'm not a Nazi?
Colonel Robert Von Smith.
How that start was years and years ago. Because I'd be up late every night anyway. I'd watch a lot of Boca matches, right? Because Boca... maybe I'll have a little gamble, you know yourself.
Yeah.
A few drinks and say, well, and then you know where that stadium is, it's fucking mental. Ah, this is amazing, right? So I was into that, and because Boca are kind of like the working class team and River Plate are like this middle class.
Are they?
Big time.
That's why Mobile has that jersey. Yeah.
They even call themselves millionaires. Yeah. So I said, right, that's not for me. Just watching all the matches, and I'd be sending a few comments on the matches on Facebook and all, and you know, people are saying, "I was who is this gringo telling, you know, speaking about our club and all, blah blah blah." So then I started to, you know, snowball really quickly that people were aware that this Irish fella's mad into Boca, and I've been for years. You know, it's just something I just have a mad passion for no reason other than up at late and gambling.
And because I think fucking whatever, obviously that stadium is sensational. But I believe that you actually managed to make your way over there. I think you wrote a bit of a song for the lads, didn't you?
I wrote a little song for the lads called Dale Boca Juniors. I came up with the genius plan of rhyming Boca Juniors with Boca Juniors. Like, solo backup.
Call that.
and you got to go over there. And
yeah, I went twice. The first time I went, it was chaos. It was nuts. You know, young fella stopping you outside the ground looking for a photo and all.
Yeah, really?
I was like, hang on.
That's a bit like us the other night.
Oh, we were like that the other night. We were outside fucking the Aviva and the junk was coming. Can I get a picture of one up top? Oh, he's like, boys are gagging. He's like, boys are gagging.
Did it really? Yeah.
Yeah, swear to God, yeah.
Yeah, it was like, people hanging out with us. We're like, I'm not able for that. You know, we're just simple men with lots of sponsors. But what was it like being in the ground? Were you in there for a match or did you just get
No, there was supposed to be a match. They were supposed to play, I think it was Newell's, but there was some crowd trouble a week or two before.
Yeah.
Where they were pepper spraying the River Plate players, and rightly so.
Yeah.
Give them a wash. And they had to, because they broke the fence and they were doing all this thing, and the next couple of games we played behind closed doors, and one of the games was moved. So then the day I was there, I had only got off the plane, big long flight, and they said, come down to the stadium. Like, oh, can I not sleep first?
Yeah.
So I had to go down to the ground and I was trying to drink it all in, but I was furiously jet lagged, man. If you ever look at the photographs of me in there, I look shard. Furious because I am. Just livid. But it was amazing though, because they don't let everybody just go walk onto the pitch, you know. I was like, this is all right. But then next month, Richard Ashcroft turned up to the ground and he was given a Boca jersey with his name on the back. Yeah. Hang on a fucking second. What do we have to do here? Write Bittersweet Symphony.
he didn't write that either. That was fucking
exactly.
And the song you wrote, was that a big hit over there or not? Yeah, because you've got so many fans
it
now.
Did. I made the mistake of not putting it out on a CD or a vinyl or something like that.
Made a few bob off.
No, but it done well. There was a couple of thousand downloads off it on the iTunes, so that was grand, you know.
And did you meet any kind of famous characters over there? Was anyone that you kind of would stick in your memory?
Did you meet the great man?
I didn't. No, I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah,
that was in the Star. Yeah, when they were, because they'd done a whole page in the Star at that time about me, and they were saying, you know, Rob, are you looking for? Would you like to meet Maradona and get a selfie with him? And I just went, yeah. Next thing, it's like, Rob, I can't wait to meet Maradona and get a selfie. It's like, that's not what I said. But fair play to you for bending the truth. Why don't, I don't blame you.
Yeah, but the picture out, or the mural out in Ballsbridge, is that in default?
Yeah, it's just behind the TV there. I was up the other week.
That'll have to do instead for a lot of people. I think you were out there as well.
Yeah, I got a picture a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
And I suppose the Boca fans are taking to you, have taken to you. You can see by your fucking social media, anything you post that.
If it doesn't say Boca Juniors, they're not interested.
I'd expect a couple of thousand listens this week from Argentina as well.
Yeah.
Please, God.
I was when the game against Sternum was on there last week, I posted a link saying, you know, this is a tenner, this is on LOI TV, watch it, blah blah blah. And I think one fella says, because you support us, we support you.
Yeah.
But I bet you he didn't stream it.
have you ever got in touch with any Boca fans that live in Dublin and tried to get them into
Boca?
There's a few
that have come up to me in the workmans. There's an Argentinian brother and sister who then befriended me on the Facebook machine.
Yeah.
I've never got them into Bose because it's too loud to talk them into the Workman's. But there's not that many Argentinian people who are into Bose, or into Boca and Bose over here.
We did have a former Argentinian footballer, Santiago Falbo. He played one game, and I think he still holds a sign in Temple Bar.
That's right, yeah. He worked in a certain strip club in Temple Bar.
I think you were probably a gold member there as well yourself. Absolutely. Rob, I'm going to ask you two questions.
Go for it.
One about Bose. What's your favourite Bose moment?
Oh, the 4-0 a few years ago. 2012, was it?
Yeah.
I'm brilliant with dates. 2012,
it was 2012, yeah. It was summer 2012.
Yeah, that was... Because I was at that... I wasn't doing a gig, and I just turned up, kind of on my own, sitting over there, just thinking, this is going to be fucking 2-0 or 2-1 to those cunts. But, no, 4-0, happy days.
4-0, yeah. It's sticks in our memory. My question is, who's your favourite Bose player in your 20-odd years gone?
Glenn Crowe, yeah. Well, until the moment he signed for Shells.
We've got his number. We're trying to get him on the phone.
Get him on the phone.
So look, you said you've been to Boca. It's fucking... It's one of the grounds I really, really want to go to. It's almost... I wanted to go and then the world started to combust.
Ah, do it, man. You won't regret it.
I'll be using your name at the door there as well.
You might get in trouble with that, actually, because the second time I went, when I was got at the door... I turned up again, I was furiously jet lagged, and there was a fella, a security guard, I assume he was a security guard anyway. I was like, yeah, you know, Rob Smith, I have an appointment with the media people here. And he's just looking at me going like, no. And I was getting a bit of guff, you know, I'm not taking the piss, I was just fucking having a laugh at him. And eventually I called upstairs to the people, then they came down, and then when I was walking past your man, I says, ah, see, I told you to get in, just messing with him. And he kind of, you know, people were like, what's going on here? I found out that he's part of a... some sort of like...
A gang teller.
Not a cartel, just kind of like a gang kind of people who do the kind of security. And he's the kind of person who wouldn't take too kindly of having the piss taken out of him, and it can end very badly. Mm. But fuck him, I'm still alive.
you live to tell the tale.
I didn't know what I was dealing with.
So look, Rob, you've got obviously... You're a bit of a musician, as you said.
We're all DJs here in Vegas. We're all DJing friends.
We're all DJing daily at some hour. But you know, you've got a bit of a good thing going at the moment. The Swedish Railway Orchestra.
Yeah.
Tell us a bit about this.
This is was supposed to be a side project, but now it's like the main project. It's an electronic kind of thing that I do because I can.
Mm. I was listening to them last night. At what stage do LCD sound system sue you?
you're not the first person to say that.
It sounds good because it's kind of
fucking I'm robbing the formula.
You know what it is, it kind of sounds somewhere between dance music and rock music. It's kind of like, you know, there's a beat the whole way through.
You see, it's not just one thing, there's a couple of things going on in all, some of the different albums, and like there's psych and all in some of the songs, you know. It's completely stolen the formula from James Murphy. I'm not ashamed to say that.
You're like an old Gallagher and John Lennon, isn't it?
And what about, there was a former member of the group who was now the Bose COO, I suppose, familiar to everyone.
Yeah, well, how Lambert got involved with that was, he was in New York living there, working there, doing something. And I was in New York and I was booked to do a gig. We put it down as the Swedish Railway Orchestra and just DJed together. Mm. And then we were doing a couple of festivals here. We done Van Tassel. We actually closed the main stage or the second stage.
Van
Tassel at like 2:30 in the morning.
Brilliant.
Lambert was DJing. I was just roaring into a mic.
Where'd the name come from? It's peculiar.
I know. It's just ridiculous. I had this ridiculous. I was on a train coming from the airport to Stockholm City Centre, and there were these kind of gypsies playing violins, and I said, "Ah, look, the Swedish Railway Orchestra." I said, "I'll write that down. That'd be a good title for a song."
That's pretty much like most of the way days when we come up with a song. Usually, something funny happens. We see something, you know. I think all great artists need inspiration. That's what.
That's army cocaine.
Okay, Heineken the lot.
Wow. Miss O'Reilly does not speak for me. Rob, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We are spinning out to a song here. It's called Brendan Gleeson.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Explain this one.
It's nothing to do with him. I just named it after him. And when I was putting the record out, I was trying to get in touch with him. He's obviously not on social media, so... I reached out to a son on social media who says, call his agent. And I says, who's his agent? He goes, I think that's what's Google for, Rob. And I said, well, fuck you too. And his agent never responded back to me. So, Brendan, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, big Bose man like you, hopefully, reach out and I'll get you a copy if there's any left.
We will have that spinning out at the end.
And then just finishing up on the Swedish Railway Orchestra, I do believe you were very generous, Rob, with your proceeds, particularly over the pandemic. I know a lot of people come in here and they don't want to talk about that sort of stuff, but we would ask you to explain where the proceeds went.
I was in hospital last year, my appendix burst, and I was very close to death's door. Not very close, but you know. But I saw the people. There was a pandemic on. I saw what the workers got up to. So I says, I'll give the profits from that last Swedish Radio album to the healthcare workers. Which,
oh, brilliant.
Yeah. Well, I should have kept it because I'm broke.
Hindsight is a beautiful thing.
It's great to hear the time. Now you're looking back on, oh bollocks.
Gosh, I look.
To be fair, you should see my bank account after last week. I've just had, fuck me, I have put a big dent in it. But we will move on to the Doodlelands game. As it stands right now, there's no stream. I know Dan Lambert and the club are working very, very hard to get something in place for fans to watch it. But it could be an old school watching it on the old live score yes, and whatnot.
As you said earlier, so far. Sadly, our trip has gone from Brussels to fucking Belfast. So I'm sure we'll be in a seedy room up the north trying to get this on anything we can, if it's possible.
A lot of people who were booked to go over were going Brussels and Cologne, Frankfurt, and the roads and the train lines are pretty much underwater for the next while. So it was a trip that we're all looking forward to, that hillside and Doodlelands that's seen the game perfectly. But unfortunately, it's not to be. And just like a lot of things the last few years, it's been very disappointing with regards to COVID. Potential of a trip to Greece. Now we drew with a Pauok Thessalonica. There's a potential for a trip there as well. But
did they draw them for after this one?
Yeah. They do the draw already. Just on this Doodlelands side, I was looking at the team there. They've got a lot of nationalities. They've got a lot of players with international caps down the years. They're no mugs. They were in the group stages 2-3 years ago. They are a very, very decent side, a considerably stronger test than the Stjarnan game. What are we expecting over there, Jordan?
We don't know what to expect. It's a new season for them. The season has not kicked off. They're still in pre-season. We're hoping to catch them cold. We're coming into a bit of form here at the moment. Think that Bowes has done the last several weeks has followed up a bad result with a great performance and a great result. So I hope we can come into this next match. I know, Rob, you were watching the last couple of games. How are you feeling going into this?
Would you be confident?
The Lanford game didn't do much confidence for me, no. I watched that on the lowest possible stream that came into me. But the other game, I got the stream for the Stjarnan game there. That was amazing.
That was brilliant.
Except I missed two of the goals because the internet is shit.
Oh, God.
But I saw the first one. The bit of play where before, was it George Kelly scored the first?
George Kelly, yeah.
But a bit of play before.
I can't remember.
My God, man, that was amazing. It was a great one, those great nights, but it'll be a little bit more difficult now.
Yeah, you'll probably keep that team that played in the Aviva. That'll probably be the starting 11. Unless the only conundrum we said about possibly Cornwall in for Feely, I think that's the only one that I can think in the top of my mind.
I think we'll look at maybe physicality, pitch size could play in that. Yeah, there's several factors, like what could come into this.
I'm sure we'll have done our homework on this Luxembourg side, but look, hopefully we're not the second Irish team to lose to Luxembourg this year. We know Stephen Kenny was on the receiving end of an extremely disappointing result.
You know, by and large, like, I know they've been in the group stage, but these have a 2,500 seater stadium.
They've only got 500
fans a week.
Yeah, these are small fry.
A small fry, and you know, we should be.
Would they be a smaller club than the likes of Stjarnan, would they?
Well, Stjarnan, we have a similar crowd, I think.
Stjarnan have a very similar crowd,
Don't this crowd have the rights for the stream?
Do
they have the facilities to do that? Like the way
They'd have the facilities, but whether they have the interest to do it or not...
Yeah, there's a big market for it here, you know?
Fucking sure there is.
It's about the people that pay €10 for a stream over in Iceland. The stream was terrible.
The stream was a fucking disgrace. It was bleeding yo-yo.
I think at this stage you'd probably pay anything for a stream just to watch Bowes.
It'd be a couple of thousand, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
From Bowes alone.
Without a doubt.
So if they listen to this podcast, there you go.
There you go, yeah. Get the finger out.
I swear to God, there's got to be fucking... Scouts now looking to watch the lads.
If there were 6,000 people in the Aviva last week watching Bowes, there's going to be more than people who are going to watch that stream at some stage. You know, people want to see us do well and people want to see us
in action. What I hope is we have something bringing back to the Aviva. I'm not sure when tickets are going on sale or how many are. Obviously, the number could fluctuate either way. But I think what we're really looking forward to seeing is Bowes bringing back a result. And hopefully tickets go on sale before that result.
Yeah, I think so as well.
In case it does go bad, you don't have much interest.
I suppose a lot of people right now are probably surprised we're back in the Aviva. I'm not, to be honest, and I don't know you are as well.
It really wasn't as bad.
And I can't wait to be back there as well, and hopefully we get the weather again. I want to ask for your prediction for Thursday night, Jordan.
Like a pig, big pair of balls I have. I'm going to say 1-0 balls and fuck it. Yeah. I was thinking about it all day and I, you know, fuck it, I'm sticking to me guns. 1-0 yeah. balls.
What about you, Rob?
I'm going to go 2-0. Georgie Kelly to get both of them.
You're going to go 2-0. Oh, you know what? I'm going to agree with you, Jordan. I'm going to say 1-0. I'm going to put my big balls on.
You're saying big, very sheepishly there.
My big balls. I'd say 1-0 as well, and I'm going to agree with Rob. It's going to be Georgie Kelly to get the goal, the big ball man himself.
And Rob, any shout outs before we knock off?
Nah, fuck everyone.
Yeah.
even all the Boca fans just in here.
I'm only kidding. All the Boca. when you were saying that question, I says I'm going to say fuck everybody here. who would I shout out to? I would shout out to all the Boca Juniors fans who I'm going to throw the link of this podcast out to.
Yeah, please do listen, guys.
I want the Boca. He net a mass.
Brilliant. And in true Bows fashion. Come on, the fucking ball. Come on!
Can you feel me?